I'll act out 1 John 1:9 later. Sorry, Linda. Okay. So this morning I want to share with you, the last few weeks actually, we've been going through a series on what the angel said, to Mary, what the angel said to Joseph. And today we're going to look at what the angel said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. It's funny enough, we're going to actually deal with the birth of Jesus today on Christmas Day. And no, we're not going to deal with the gory things of what happens during childbirth. So relax, it's all okay. We're going to deal with what the angel said to the shepherds. So let's just read from Luke chapter 2, from verse 8. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel of the multitude of heaven, host praising and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. I wonder who you would expect if you were expecting the King of Glory to come down, whom Jesus might be sent to proclaim his birth. You might think that he be taken to the temple and the high priest announced in front of the whole multitude of Jewish people gathered around that Christ the Messiah is here. It might have been that he'd gone to King Herod himself and said, "Here is your king, king." And it might have even been that the planet shakers and the movers and all of those people around, the heavy hitters of the world, all the billionaires and millionaires, might have been announced to them because they're significant people. We might have trouble, though, understanding that these guys, these shepherds out in the field, were the ones that Jesus seemed to have, that God seems to have told first, a bunch of shepherds. Yes, the announcement of Jesus' birth was made to some people in a field. Common, ordinary, ruffians. Some study would tell you that they are unreliable, indifferent, probably smelly as field dwellers. And these shepherds were most likely tending their sheep, doing their normal business, everyday things out in the fields. So what do we know about these events? What are the shepherds know? What are the shepherds' responses? Well, first thing, this is an amazing sight. On an ordinary night, in an ordinary field, and a group of ordinary men, an extraordinary event happened. All of a sudden appeared to them the light, the sky was filled with light, and an angel descended from heaven and gave them the news. This is a tranquil setting, friends, and it had been shattered by a glorious utterance from the angel. And they were afraid. When we read scripture, we see these words, "they were afraid," but it doesn't really give the inflection that it actually needs. They were terrified. Absolutely, absolutely seized with great fear. And don't let the moment be lost here. This angel came to these guys who we've described already, and that's not to run them down. I see this picture that God has sent his angel to the lowest of the low, opening the way for all people, whether you're rich, middle class, or down in the bottom trenches of this world. According to the social standard, that God saw these people the same. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do, his love and grace extended to them all. God shows no more respect to the wealthy than he does to the least of the least. And I praise him for that. You might even ask today, come here and say, does God even know if I'm alive? Does he even know if I even exist at all? No matter how insignificant you may think you are, if you believe in God the Father, if you believe in Jesus Christ paid the price for you on the cross, you believe that the Holy Spirit indwells you, that makes you important because of Jesus. I just want you to listen to these scriptures found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let one who boasts boast in the Lord. What an assurance that is. That we might boast in God, and he considers us a part of his family. We are the family of God who come together in the presence of Jesus Christ, because what Christ did, as we remember this day thousands of years ago. Can you remember, if you're a believer here today, what it was like when you first said yes to Jesus? The freedom that that brings. The writing of your mind that that brings. And it brings tension, because we have to reshape our lives. I know that. A boy from the Bronx grew up and ended up a believer because of faithful people witnessing. It changed my life forever. It's never been the same. And praise God for that. It is all him. And we might see that. And the second thing is, we see this message of hope. So a terrified group of guys looking after sheep, we're told to fear not. Yeah, right, sure. I'm not sure that terrified reaction to that sort of event would be an unusual or out of character display. I'm sure that we'd all probably fall down flat on our face. But here's the message of hope. Unto you is born this day. You see, this message is very, very personal for all of us. Yeah, sure, it's for all humanity, for God so loved the world. It's for all humanity, but it also lands very much on our individual nature. You see, God cares about you. God cares about us individually. That's why Christ came. You are part of the world, the human race, and it's for us as individuals to respond to Jesus. This message was full of power. If you read in the passage that we read before, it says, he is Saviour, he is Christ, and he is Lord. The message of this baby being born in a feed box is nothing unusual in terms of a baby being born, but who this was talking about is out of this world. Out of this world completely. First thing, he's called Saviour, the one who would give his life. And there we've got a depiction here of from a cradle to a cross. And a lot of teaching and life in between. And we can't just look at the cradle without looking at the cross. He is Saviour. Give his life for the sins of his people. He was the one who came down and was robed in humanity and came to die on a cross. Let's look at some of his character. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this from verses 5 to 8. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We also see this wasn't a just an accidental event. In Hebrews chapter 10, we see consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. It is written of me in the scroll, in the book." This was no accident. This was God ordained, God planned for our redemption, for our sake. And this is what the shepherds were hearing in this context. He's also called Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. The plan happened, Genesis 3:15. Even though this was planned before the foundations of the world, he is the one prefigured in the Old Testament. He is the one that all the sacrifices point to. He's the one all the Old Testament prophecies point to. He is the one that the Jewish people anticipated every time they offered a sacrifice. They'd been waiting for their Messiah. And then he is called Lord. The title identifies him as God in flesh. How beautiful is that? This little baby, think about this, who once created the world according to what Colossians 1 says. This little baby created the world. He's also the head of the church for all eternity. He is Lord of all. Yes, lying in this feed box in Bethlehem lies a helpless baby that needed human parents to look after him. He is the Almighty God. A beautiful picture of the Son who comes to earth as a helpless child to save humanity. Your heart may be full of fear and concerns this day. As I said before, you might have real problems with health, real problems with family, with employment, with finances. Or if you're so inclined, you may have all sorts of worries about global affairs, which seems to occupy our minds a lot these days. But I want to say this to you. Listen to these words. I bring you good news of great joy. A Saviour was born. The scripture has been fulfilled. Christ is Lord. And he will be for all people, as we've said. This is a global mission. Not just stay in a dirty stable. This goes out from the world. Embedded in the Middle East, it's not a Western religion. It goes out from there in the proclamation of the gospel. Not for a privileged few, but for all of us. This is the one who was promised. And I love what happens after this proclamation. I would have loved to have been there. There's a lot of people who have Christmas lights. A lot of people take joy on Christmas Eve to drive around and see what electricity bill people are going to have in the next month. And I think it's great because it's their electricity bill, not mine. But we enjoy those things. But I want you to see how this magnificent chorus of angelic hosts comes down. I don't know how many there were, but I'd like to think thousands and thousands and thousands. What I do know, it's bigger than a flash mob in the mall down the road. And it is amazing. And then we get the most pivotal thing for all of us to take on board, as the shepherds had to take on board. This is where the rubber hits the road, even on Christmas Day. The way you respond, the way I respond to what happened those thousands of years ago and on that cross as well, will change your life forever. And it has eternal consequences, and it changed the shepherd's life forever. But they could have sat there and debated it. They could have said, well, let's just analyse what happened. Could we afford to leave the sheep in the field? What will happen when they're gone? And they can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk until all the what-ifs shipwreck the actual thing that happened. And they're way away from what happened. And then they could have doubted and rejected it. They could have said, nah, sorry, fairy story at best. They could have said, I know what we were told, but it probably didn't hear right. Just forget it's happened and move on. And then they could have overanalyzed it. They could have said, look, we don't have enough petrol in the car to get to Bethlehem. The sheep need to be fed. The oxen won't carry us that far because they're lazy and tired and they're asleep. It seems to be too costly. God demands too high a price, apparently. Let's just leave it alone and let's not touch it. But I want you to listen to what they did. Remember, lowly men, almost outcast type people in a field proclaim from an angel that Jesus is born. They didn't say, let's see if it's true. Listen to the words. Now let's go and see this thing that had happened. That is a faith response. Immediately, that is a faith response. It's not enough to hear about Jesus. It's not enough to look into the manger and say how cute it is and it gives us warm fuzzies this time of year. It doesn't matter that you get wrapped up in all the glitz and the glamour of all those warm fuzzies. It needs to change our perspective and our life like it did for those poor people in a field that night. And they received the gospel message of the hope that was to come. They went away changed. They began to proclaim. They cast off the inhibitions of what they had and they went away. And I would like to think, as I start, my voice elevates when I get excited, they would have went away even higher than that and proclaimed the name of Jesus to all that would listen. Friends, being a shepherd was a lonely, wearisome, dangerous and probably boring job. But God has promised his people that one day he would send a Messiah. The Messiah would make everything different. In his hope, it would fan the flame of faith that they'd longed for. So how about us? Is life too hard and too weary? Have we met Jesus who injects life into our lives? The Lord has promised that one day he will come back to bring us with him. He is coming for all of us, for shepherds who believe, for kings who believe, for wise men who believe, for peasants who believe. He is coming for his people that said yes to his son. He will dry away the tears of our eyes. He will take away all of the pain, as my mother-in-law would know. There will be no more death, no more goodbyes, and then, and probably only then, we'll be able to say, it was worth it all. Well, let's give thanks as I invite the music team to close our service with a song. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, that we know that the plan had been wrought in the eternity of your will. But Father, we also know that in our time and space, Jesus came in flesh, and we thank you for that. And it is him that we have hope. In him we have the hope of eternity in our hearts. And may we rejoice and give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen.